Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter says that it is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. It is better to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. And that's not the way that we're accustomed to thinking. What we learn from a very young age is that if you do good, you'll be rewarded, not have to suffer. If you do bad, then you will suffer. If you do what mom and dad tell you to do, then they'll be happy with you. If you do not do what they want you to do, then they'll be unhappy with you. They might also punish you. But we all know that sometimes you want to do things that are bad. Sometimes you want to do things that you know mom and dad wouldn't let you do or have specifically told you not to do. Although you'd like to do these things, you'd prefer also not to have to be punished for them. So then what you need to do is hide or lie or in some other way cover up the bad thing. It's amazing how early in life we learn how to do this. Nobody has to teach it to us. It just comes naturally. Something that is kind of interesting is that if you do what is right in this situation, you will almost certainly suffer. What I mean is this, that if you've done something wrong, and then you go and tell mom and dad what you've done, which is good and right, they're going to be angry or disappointed or some negative reaction is going to take place. They might punish you. We'd like to avoid that. So there's a very strong compulsion to hide or lie or try to figure out a way to make it so that it doesn't sound as bad as it really is. But then, if we do that, we are just adding evil on top of evil. It is better to suffer for doing good, for doing the right thing, than for doing evil. But in order to do this, we have to believe in God. The lying and the hiding and the whatnot that is done is only done because we don't believe in God. If we believed in God, then we'd understand that we're always walking in His sight. How can He not see what we've done, what we've hidden, what we've lied about? Our most sophisticated adult efforts at covering our tracks to Him looks like a toddler who goes into the corner to poop in his diaper, thinking that nobody knows what he's doing. If we believed in God, we wouldn't think that our lying or hiding is going to work because, of course, God knows. Positively speaking, we have to believe in God in order to know that we will be blessed with our suffering for doing what is good. And this requires a lot of faith. Think again of that child who's done wrong. To go tell mom or dad is going to hurt. The child is going to suffer. Seemingly, all that can be dispensed with if only the child is clever enough to cover his tracks. To go to mom and dad and tell them what you've done seems like a terrible idea. You have to believe in God in order to believe that you will be better off for doing such a thing. Kids without much life experience are just going to have to take God's word for that they will be blessed. You who have some experience under your belt might be able to see things a little more clearly than a child just by your experience. We adults have no doubt done our fair share of crime. We've thought that we will be better off if we lie and hide. We still very often think that way. But even if we've never taken the right path, I think we can sense that there's a price to pay, even just an earthly price to pay, for not doing what is right. What if we would be one of those good people who own up to what they've done, who tell the truth? I think that we can sense that this is a better way to live. If only we would think more about things, I think we would see that this is how it has to be, actually. Lying and hiding only delay the inevitable. The best possible outcome to our lying and hiding is that grass grows over the offense and we forget about it. And here's what's really important as far as the best case scenario, that we quit lying and hiding after just that one time, of course. But that's not what happens. What inevitably happens when we have quote-unquote success with our lying and hiding is that we grow more and more in our wickedness. And why shouldn't we? That's what our reason tells us. If it worked once, it might work again. And if we get better at our wickedness, we might get more of what we want. But whom are we learning from? Who is our master and our teacher? Is it not the father of lies, that murderer, the devil? Like the Pied Piper, all he's doing is leading us off to slaughter, giving us little treats along the way where we think that we're getting away with things. How different it is to learn from our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered for doing what is good rather than for doing what is evil. This is even a step beyond what I've been talking about thus far. What I've been talking about is the way that we will suffer for stepping out of our evil ways and doing the right thing by fessing up. But Jesus did not do anything wrong, and yet he willingly suffered. He suffered for people who are no good, for us, who have lied and hid, gladly being trained by the devil. And tremendous good has come about because of this suffering. And tremendous good has come about because God exists. He brought about the salvation of mankind by his suffering and attained everlasting glory for himself. Now, at the time of Jesus' suffering, when he was actually suffering, it did not look that way. It did not look that he was going to be everlastingly glorified. What it looked like is that a mere man died unjustly. It looked like the lying and hiding Jewish authorities were actually going to get their way. They're going to get rid of this annoying Jesus. Today, specifically on Holy Saturday, Jesus lies dead in a cool tomb cut into the hillside. On Holy Saturday, no good seems to have come from what he did as far as appearances are concerned, and certainly no power or glory. But you know Christian doctrine well enough to know that it's not going to stay that way. Jesus rose from the dead. He descended into hell and proclaimed victory. He left the cold, dark tomb. He appeared to his bewildered disciples. He proclaimed peace and salvation to them. He ascended to the right hand of God the Father and reigns and rules there in glory. This is very instructive for our lives as Christians. Just before where our reading starts tonight, the Apostle Peter encourages us Christians to do good with the people who are in our life. Each of us have been given roles and responsibilities by God. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, worker? In all these callings and stations in life, we have the opportunity to suffer for doing what is good. What that means is that you do what is right. You do what God wants you to do. You work hard. You don't antagonize. You forgive when others hurt you. So much as it depends on you, you live peaceably with everyone. You suffer for doing what is good, following your Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, believing that God will bless you. Chances are you will not be exalted in this life for following Jesus. You might. There are examples of that in the Bible. Daniel, whom we heard about in our first reading, was such a man. He was a great man in Babylon and Persia, doing what was good. Another example would be Joseph in Egypt. Already in his lifetime, he was exalted, although he suffered. What is much more likely, however, is that you will be like our Lord Jesus Christ. His glory was hidden while he lived this life. His glory appeared to be completely non-existent on Holy Saturday. But now he is highly exalted. So it will be also in heaven. There will be lots of surprises in heaven. People that we thought were glorious will not be glorious, whereas those who didn't seem to be glorious will be truly the great ones. The great ones probably will not be the preachers and the church leaders in heaven. They often already have their reward. The great ones are going to be those who lived quiet Christian lives. They believed in Jesus. They followed him. They suffered for what is good. They were honest, kind, and helpful. Their works were never spectacular or unusual to human beings, but they were precious in God's sight. For all intents and purposes, they looked as powerless and ineffectual as our Lord and Savior looked while he lay dead in the tomb on Holy Saturday. But in the life to come, these Christians will receive their reward. They will be glorified. Might have just been some humble person here on this earth. They will be glorified. So here's another thing that you can think about. We do well to strive after this heavenly glory. People are striving after earthly glory all the time. Everybody wants to be known as the best. Nobody thinks about the glory that will never fade away in heaven. How do we obtain this glory? By seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We can gladly suffer for doing good. We can forgive as we have been forgiven. We can seek to serve rather than being served. We can take the lowest spot, trusting in our Lord and God to raise us higher when the time is right. The good life is not the one when we use and abuse everybody else toward our own ends. That life seems like it should be the best life, but it's not. The best life is the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his suffering for doing what is good, he set free creation from its bondage to the devil and corruption. Our best life, therefore, is following after him. You will be blessed. You should not have a shadow of a doubt about that. In fact, there should be no doubt either way. If you follow the arts and practices of the devil, you most certainly will not be blessed. I don't care if you manage by these arts and practices to accumulate the whole world and eat it for dessert. Nothing good can come from our hating and lying and hiding, even though it seems like it should work like a charm. And the reason why it won't work is because God exists. Then, on the other hand, there is no doubt whatsoever that the good that we do will be blessed. Jesus is blessed. Jesus is glorified. We will be too, if we follow after him. Do not shy away, therefore, from those times when you are called upon to suffer for doing good. You're going to have to fight against your flesh when that comes, because your flesh is going to tell you that you will fail and you'll be miserable for suffering for good. The Bible, however, tells you that you will be blessed. You will be following the pattern set by your master. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.